My name is Father Tony Stevens. I am a priest of the Fathers of Mercy. We are a religious order headquartered down near Bowling Green, Kentucky. And our seminarians go to school over across the street at Mount St. Mary's. And so I took up a job there at the seminary, assisting with formation there with the Father of Mercy seminarians, as well as other diocesan seminarians who are studying there. And so Father Brausch couldn't make it this weekend, and he asked if I could fill in. So I'm very happy to be here with all of you. I did not grow up in Kentucky. I grew up actually in western Kansas, and grew up on a feedlot. We raised cattle, and we also had farmland, and so we raised wheat and corn, and the family is still out there and farms, and I get to go home and play cowboy and farmer every once in a while, so it's a lot of fun to go back to Kansas. One day, and this has been probably 20 years ago, my cousin Matt and I were driving around checking some cattle, and Matt was about 6. Matt is and was a man of few words. And so he's sitting there over on the other side of the pickup, because, you know, with cousins, you know, everybody helps, and even when they're little. Matt was already driving at the age of 6, actually. He was probably driving at the age of 4. We don't tell the officials about that. But we're sitting there talking, and he comes out with this statement. He said, "You know, Tony, God drives a John Deere." And I thought, where is this going? This is going to be good. So I said, "Yeah, Matt, why is that? Why does God drive a John Deere?" And he said, "Well, you know, with everything is so green right now, and in western Kansas, you don't get a lot of rain. The rainfall is not very, very high. And so anytime the crops look really green and the grass is really lush, especially in the summer months, you know, it's heavenly looking almost for Kansas. You have to, you know, keep things in perspective. It isn't Ohio." And he said, "You know, it's so lush and green, and heaven is green, and heaven's, you know, that's God's, where God lives, and green must be God's favorite color. And since John Deere tractors are green, you know, God has to drive a John Deere." I said, "Okay, that's pretty good, Matt." So it's quiet for a little bit, and then I asked him. I said, "Matt, does that mean that the devil drives an International?" And he said, "Yep, that's what it means, because the fires of hell are red, and red's the devil's favorite color, so he must drive an International." And I've thought of that story so many times, but it's very simple, and a very simple way of looking at heaven. But heaven, ultimately, is something that we need to be thinking about on a regular basis. Thinking about our eternal destiny, the life to come, and for us to be looking forward to that as a destination place, and preparing well now to go to heaven. As we work our way through these readings and we come towards the end of ordinary time, because next week is the Feast of Christ the King, next Sunday, and we begin Advent in 2 weeks. And so the readings, the cycles of readings change in terms of preparation for Christmas. But right now, and these readings today point towards the end. And basically it's saying to us, sit up, pay attention. The Son of Man is coming. Do not get caught off guard. Prepare now. And we hear in the book of the prophet Daniel, there are almost these surreal images. It's not of this world, the things that Daniel is describing. Because, you know, he's talking about, "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, the guardian of your people. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. So the dead are going to rise up, and they shall live forever." Well, where are they going to live? So it's trying to stir in his hearers. There's something very strange is going to take place, something that isn't just natural, but something that is supernatural, something that is going to shake us out of our apathy. It's going to wake us up. Jesus talks about it too in the gospel reading today. And there's this, just in that initial part of this gospel. In those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened. The sun usually puts off light, but something so powerful is going to stop it, going to darken it. The moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky. Something very otherworldly is going to happen. And the Son of Man coming, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. So the Son of Man is coming, the Son of God. He's trying to wake us up. He's trying to shake us out of our stupor. And he doesn't want to just do this to scare us. He wants this to happen for us to wake up. And so in our daily lives, kind of coming back to reality, if you will, back to the here and now, he wants us to think about, how am I living? Am I even prepared to see Christ at Christmas? If I was to die today, would I die as a friend of God? Where would I go? I mean, you look at what happened in Paris on Friday night, and you know the existence of evil, and you know that hell exists, just by the fruit that it has shown forth in those violent actions that happened in Paris. And so too, while evil exists, so too does good exist. And the greatest good, the Creator of all, who is calling us to Himself. But He wants us to ask ourselves, how am I doing? How am I living? We have a very goofy, I think, in many cases, goofy view of heaven. So often the media portrays heaven as these fat little cherubs, you know, who are plucking harps. And in movies, you'll have heaven, and heaven looks kind of boring and kind of dull. And the little demons who go around, you know, the demons actually look kind of fun. And so in some of the movies, remember the movie, it was a George Burns movie, Oh God, it was Oh God, You Devil, or something like that. Well, you know, the devil was having fun. But it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all very deceptive, because that's how the devil operates. We need to refine our view of heaven, and we can't just let it think that it's going to be this boring destination where, I don't really want to go to heaven. I'd rather go to Vegas. I mean, hell looks kind of fun. But what goes on in Vegas doesn't necessarily stay in Vegas. How many times have you heard, or the corollaries of, you know, going to the proverbial Vegas, having the fun? How often is there a trail of tears? How often with the effects of sin, when someone chooses to go have a good time, are there shattered marriages and shattered dreams and wasted money and self-recriminations? Because see, the devil gets us coming and he'll get us going. And so we do have to keep that eye towards heaven. I want to emphasize this. I cannot emphasize this enough. The good that you do here and now bears fruit for as you look forward to heaven. The good work that we do, even though it might even feel a little dull and boring, but we know from what we've learned in our faith, the daily routine of prayer, the practice of virtue, doing the right thing, even when no one's looking, and persisting in that for days, weeks, months, years, and you're doing that, doing the right thing because God has called you to do this. And this is slowly building us a foundation of faith and building us that relationship with God, that when the Son of Man comes in all His glory, it's going to be this great reunion. When we die, we'll die as a friend of God because we've been living all our lives as a friend of God. Now, we know there's ups and downs in the spiritual life. There's times that we feel like praying and there's times we don't feel like praying. But when you do it anyway, you keep showing up, there's this steadiness, this consistency that comes about. You look at some of the great saints. St. John Paul II, Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, St. John Vianney, St. Therese of Lisieux, and recently St. Therese's parents, a married man and woman, the Martins, were recently canonized. These people who lived well, but they lived ordinary lives. They've only recently been canonized and beatified. They lived well. They lived in anonymity, some of them. But they did the right thing, even when no one was looking. And so even though it looks like some of those people who are having fun, you know, and oh, you know, get that vision, the dopey vision of heaven, that heaven's going to be boring and dull, get that out of your minds. Get out of your mind that you think that I can have my fun now and, oh, God will be merciful. And he will be if we ask for it. But if we have distanced ourselves from God, he's not going to drag us kicking and screaming to heaven. So, to prepare well now, to do the right thing even when no one is looking. Are there any Bengals fans in the house? Are there a few Bengals? Yeah, okay, there's a few. I expected to see more hands go up. Huh? Okay, it's okay. You'll be on the bandwagon when they're in the Super Bowl. I do hope they're there, by the way. But let's pretend, and this is a very banal notion of what heaven is, but let's pretend that heaven is like the Bengals winning the Super Bowl. And they go down to Paul Brown Stadium, and there's this awesome celebration of the Browns as they come out, or not the Browns, sorry, the Bengals. Freudian slip, whoops. And I'm a Broncos fan, that's the funny part. Getting my B's mixed up this morning. But there's this celebration of the Bengals winning the Super Bowl, and there's this big procession out on the field and the award ceremony. Wouldn't you want to be the one down on the field congratulating the team? You want to be down as close as you can to the action. You're happy, even if you get to the nosebleeds, you're happy you're there. But it would be better to be down on the field where you're getting to meet the players. You've got the best seats in the house, being involved, being able to interact. Heaven, which throughout the scriptures is portrayed as a wedding feast, a great and glorious celebration, a great party, better than a party, the best party. And being in heaven, you are going to want to be close to the main event. You want to be close to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You want to be right down there in the middle. Now, even if at the grand wedding feast, we aren't that close to the head of the table, maybe we're down the table quite a ways, but we can still see God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit down at the one end of the table. But you look up the table and you see John Paul II and you see Blessed Teresa of Calcutta. Because of the way that they lived here, in heaven there's going to be a closer proximity to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit because they lived well. They did the right thing when no one is looking. There might even be some people from Guardian Angels who got up there because they humbly lived their faith out. They persisted in their faith. What I'm saying is, the harder we work at our faith in this life, the greater the reward will be in heaven. Now, again, it's hard make those connections because we don't know what heaven will be like exactly. But the more we love now, the better off we'll be in heaven. The more generous we are now, the more sacrifices we're willing to make now. The sacrifices of love, to do the right thing when no one is looking, to live virtuously in this life, to be a friend of Jesus, to die as a friend of God. We want to do that. And maybe we don't feel it. Don't worry if the feelings aren't there. Don't worry if you feel like there's these obstacles that are constantly popping up. To make those little acts of faith, to say those little brief prayers, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I trust in you. And to sprinkle those throughout the day. And to try to live more consistently in accord with what our faith teaches is going to prepare us to meet the Son of Man when he comes. And so this day, let us renew that desire and make those new resolutions that I do want to go to heaven. Because it is going to be glorious. It's going to be more beautiful and more awesome than anything this earth could provide. So that when I do die, I die as a friend of God and spend eternity in peace with him. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.